Man, we gotta start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment or have the money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff at like a store with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all the bank transfer stuff.
Nope. It's just right there. It's easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was?
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin Burnett.
It is so good to see you.
I know. Where you been?
How you been since the last time I saw you? What's it been, a week now?
It's not been good, Bob.
Not good? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
No, it's been awesome.
Oh, good. Thank God. You're just messing with
when
me.
When it's not good, you make it awesome.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Every day spent above ground is a good one, Zarin.
Yeah, turning broken eggs into lemonade.
Totally. So juicy.
That makes no
sense.
No, I know. Anyway, you know what's ridiculous?
The helicopter outside the studio?
Oh, yes. We've been listening to that air beater.
I wonder if we should go outside and make sure that they're not like, there's not like a
I'm
hostage
sure
situation
fine.
Across the street.
No, I'm sure we're fine. We don't need to know anything. Ignorance is bliss from what I
hear. I want to wind up on our show as an episode.
It comes right in. Live raid on Ridiculous Crime. Okay, well, I have something for you if you got a second.
Sure.
You can just forget about the helicopter.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I want you to imagine one of the smartest men
in
the world.
I didn't get to do my What's Ridiculous.
Oh, you actually have a What's Ridiculous?
I do.
Oh, well, tell me, what's ridiculous,
I'm
Elizabeth?
I'm going to lay it all on the line here.
Sure.
It's a mashup. All right, so just calm down.
No,
calm
I'm
down.
Okay, fine. I'm just going to overhear a
this
fan
is,
myself.
This may be one of the worst ones I've ever done.
You saved the best for last.
That's
huh?
why the helicopters are mm-hmm. out. This
no, go
so
hit,
bad.
Hit me with it. Drop that hammer
okay,
on my
so
foot.
So, do you remember last year I talked to you about eggnog?
Yeah.
Sipping cream?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just like eggnog.
Unfortunately, I do remember these things. Like, I wish I could just be like, no, I have no recollection whatsoever.
So, Eggo and Tennessee's Sugarlands Distilling Company.
Oh, God.
They got together. They're the ones who did eggnog. Well,
uh-huh.
They came up with a new sipping cream.
They're back.
Yeah, it's a new sipping cream.
They couldn't be stopped.
It's inspired by brunch.
Oh, no.
So it's a cream liqueur called Eggo Brunch in a Jar.
Okay, that's funny.
And it combines the flavors of buttered and toasted Eggo waffles.
All right.
Savory bacon slices.
Sure.
And a drizzle of maple syrup.
That's all? No orange juice to make it a
so
nutritious part
like
of my
if
breakfast?
If some Arizona State sorority girl goes like buck wild on a brunch and just mm-hmm. cuts it loose and then doesn't feel so hot
yes.
and runs down a hot sidewalk in flip-flops and then falls down and barfs in a jar.
That's what this tastes like?
Yeah, it's my guess. Here's their quote.
Okay.
Between the juggle of constantly changing schedules, household errands, family outings, or busy work days, it can often feel impossible for parents to find moments they can savor for themselves.
I prefer the jiggle to the juggle.
Yes,
but
the
that's
jiggle.
Me.
You're jingling, baby. Yeah. So Joe Beauprez, mm-hmm. this is the marketing director with
sure.
Eggo. God, you know, God bless him.
God bless Bob.
So then he continued, Eggo brunch in a jar makes it easy for parents to kick back when they're not caring for their little ones. So whether parents want to punch up a weekend brunch,
want to get sauce on a Saturday,
or savor some of those classic brunch flavors during their downtime, this feel-good, Eggo-inspired liqueur is the perfect treat.
Yes.
So you just crack a jar, put a silly straw in it. You're waiting for the kids to come out of school. You're in the pickup line. You're just like pounding, just chugging so hard. And then you figure, I get pulled over. They think I've just been eating waffles.
You can't spell Sunday without,
So it's available throughout the U.S. You can purchase it online in some states. And unlike Eggnog, which only came out for the holiday season, December to remember.
Year round,
baby. You gotta be 21 and older, so no kids. But it's in it's in a mason jar too, just like you hit rock bottom. It's white and creamy.
Wait,
it's the perfect way.
The drink is white, or the mason jar is white.
Everything.
Mason jar is glass, right?
It's glass, just clear glass, but the drink is white. Oh. It looks like mayonnaise.
So it looks like you're just sipping on glue.
Did you know something? Eggo brunch in a jar is the perfect way to elevate weekend brunch with a fun cocktail, or to enjoy classic brunch flavors during your well-deserved me time in the evening.
They don't know what the word perfect means.
No, they don't. No. Here's the thing. Basically, they're saying parents who hate their children
and love liquor, we have something
bed,
for you.
Put them to bed and then drink this while you're watching your stories.
Drink away your pain with some Eggo liquor.
And that, Zarin, is ridiculous.
That is certified.
Yeah. You know, this was kind of like mustard Skittles. We got a lot of tips on this
one. Oh, did
we? Yeah. I can't shout out everybody because it was just, we were inundated.
Can I just ask, why do you people hate me? Well, Elizabeth, I got one for you if you got a second.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Please, if you will, imagine one of the smartest men in the world.
Yes.
Okay. Elizabeth, this man, he too, as long as he is straight, can be felled by the power of the bikini. Yes. Now take the case of Paul Frampton, one of the most brilliant mathematical physicists alive today.
Uh-huh.
He risked it all to chase after a bikini model. And he lost it all.
Oh,
spoiler
no.
alert, turns out the bikini model was fake. But the kilos of cocaine that the world famous physics professor smuggled for her were not.
Wait.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder free and 100% ridiculous.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth.
Yes.
I got a question for you, my friend.
Yes.
You know how I love physics?
I do know that, actually. Yeah. I've seen that.
You see me scribbling and reading weird stuff, right? Well, this cat I'm going to tell you about, he's one of my favorite theoretical physicists working today.
Oh.
I've read his journal papers. Like, I'm a fan of this guy.
One of them.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of papers.
Well, no, I'm saying you're like one of your favorite. You have like a list of like,
oh, totally.
Who are your three favorite theoretical physicists?
John Carlos Bays is definitely a favorite.
He's making up names. No, who's your second favorite?
Okay. I'm not going to fall for this trap. Elizabeth, my man Paul Frampton.
Yeah.
All right.
Brother of Peter.
He also came alive for crime. He's proposed novel theories for dark matter. In his theory of dark matter, it would be attributable to primordial black holes. All words you love.
Yum.
Right? Dark matter, primordial, black holes.
Makes so much sense to me.
He also, this guy, he created the chiral color model.
You're kidding. That
I
was
know.
Him?
Yes. Yeah, so he did the 331 model, which re-expresses
no
the
way.
Standard model with a different algebra.
I use that every day.
He also has built models for matter-antimatter asymmetry and a binary tetrahedral group as a flavor symmetry.
I speak English.
Right? You love all this. He also, by the way, has calculated the rate of vacuum decay for the quantum field theory. And he constructed a matrix to determine if 42 is truly the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Oh, really?
No, I threw that last one in there just for you. Okay, so let's say my point is this cat, Paul Frampton. Major heavy hitter in the world of theoretical physics.
Yeah.
But these days, if you Google him, that's no longer the first thing that pops up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, instead you'll see stories about the time he smuggled cocaine for a bikini model who never really existed. Now, it sucks if you're a physics academic and an academic journal like Advancing Physics publishes a story with the headline, UNC physics professor is convicted of drug smuggling in Argentina. And you're the professor? Because now everyone in physics is going to read this story.
Well, I would
There's
think
nobody
that
doesn't know this story in his field.
Aren't those supposed to be like academic papers, not like a gossip rag?
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Like they're the like TMZ of the physics world.
Like, hey, we got one for y'all. You guys put down your tea. This is going to be good. Okay, Elizabeth, this cat, as I told you, he can calculate dark matter and the vacuum decay rate of imaginary quasi-particles.
But I hate
somehow,
when that happens.
He couldn't see an old-fashioned long con right in front of him. Even when it bit him right smack on on the ego. Okay, this is what happens when a middle-aged man thinks that Miss Bikini World is in love with him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. By the way, the bikini model in question, she is a real woman. She's not like an AI creation.
Oh.
Her name is Denise Milani. She is an internationally famous model. And I want you to be able to imagine this person at the other end of his online communication.
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth, this is Denise Milani.
Yeah. Oh, yikes. Yeah. I mean, not that, like, I think
she is
most men would look at that and say, like, hubba hubba or awooga. Or, you know,
awooga.
Ladies.
Are they all cartoon,
or, you know,
cartoon wolves?
I'll just put anyone attracted to women would be like, bazonga zonga.
Yeah. She is very curvaceous. She was known for her.
Their eyes
would
go
jump out
and
yeah.
come back. Awooga.
I like your cartoon wolf sexuality. Men are just reduced to like Tex Avery cartoons.
And then I see a guy in like short shorts and
you're like,
greased
up.
Like, hubba, hubba. It's the lederhosen.
The lederhosen? That's what does it for you? You like the suspenders and some thigh meat?
No.
Okay, we're learning a lot about Elizabeth today. Well, this theoretical physicist, Paul Frampton, he could, as I said, fully, rationally, logically believe that this woman who I just showed you reached out to him, started texting with him, and she fell in love with him.
Well, the poor lady's bikini top has fallen off on the beach.
Yeah, she's got too much Buddhism.
It's so hard for her.
Yeah, this man has 3 degrees from Oxford, and yet he never questioned the logic of this.
Oh.
Yeah, this will likely not surprise you, but as I was about to say, one former student, they put it, quote, women came later in Paul's life.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. What I mean, but hey, women came later in my life, you know, ultimately, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
I wasn't married in my 20s or 30s or any of that stuff, so I can relate to Paul.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, like, you could say the same thing. So, like, I don't consider myself naive about women, but this guy, apparently he was.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's focusing on building his career and his brain.
Sure.
And the numbers.
Well,
and the
there's more to it than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's kind of, well, here, I'll let people who know him better than I explain it. Before he met the fake Denise Milani, he had been married. He got married at age 50, and his wife was an age-appropriate 52-year-old French woman. She called herself a physics groupie, so that was fun for them. She was smart, but she wasn't, like, you know, in Paul Frampton's league smart, but she, he's like in a vanishingly small number of people smart. But his ex-wife did say of their relationship, quote, I couldn't completely follow everything Paul said, because of the mathematics, of course, but either I could understand the words, or I could just listen to the music. The music of physics.
That's me listening to you talk about physics.
Exactly.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Numbers and stuff. I don't know.
Keep it up, man.
I love that for you. You seem to really get something out of this. Eventually, this music of physics was no longer able to bond husband and wife, and they divorced.
Aww.
It happens. So his ex-wife, Anne Marie, she said that living with Paul, it was difficult in her words, right? Yeah. She intimated that it was akin to being married to a 3-year-old.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you can kind of
just
ladies, ladies, we all know what that's like. Marrying a 3-year-old. We all been there, gals.
Yeah, who hasn't dated themselves a toddler? So a little while. A little while after they parted, the then 64-year-old theoretical physicist, he wanted to find a new wife, a new partner, because he didn't want to be by himself. He tasted love.
Someone's
he knew what
do
it
the
felt
dishes.
Like. Yeah.
He's 3 years old.
Exactly. Someone's got to drive. Someone's got to do taxes.
He can't reach the doorknob.
So he tells his friends and associates he's looking for someone new. He wants to find some lady who's in her, quote, prime birthing years. So
a
woman somewhere between the ages of 18 and 35. Now, keep in mind, this is a
64-year-old. Does he want birthing hips?
No, he didn't quite get into, like, the physiognomy. What he wants, but he did say he wanted, you know, like a birthing lady. You know, he wants, like, not quote, that wasn't a direct quote, but he did say he's like, I want someone in her prime birthing years. And the scientist, imagine a scientist saying,
sure,
it, right?
Of course, yeah.
So, but also keep in mind, this is a 64-year-old divorced man saying this,
and a dorkosaurus.
Oh, totally, totally. Now, his first attempt at finding new love was a rebound, so obviously,
sure.
So he found a young Chinese woman, they met online, they exchanged emails, he planned to go see her in China. It worked out that he'd be in China for work and upcoming trips, right? So
good.
He'd be near
good.
Where she lived. He was going to visit a colleague in China. They arranged to meet. Shocker of all shockers, Elizabeth, because I was not expecting this.
Uh-huh.
The young Chinese woman who he'd been emailing with actually agreed to meet him, and she actually existed.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
Shocker, right? But the two almost lovers, they get together. They meet for an hour. But sadly, Elizabeth, update. No sparks.
Yeah, it just didn't happen. Just didn't click.
So, but luckily for old Paul, he then met the former 2007 Miss Bikini World, Denise Milani. Or rather, he met fake Denise Milani.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't in person that he met her.
But as far as he was concerned, he met Denise Milani.
Ahooga.
Now, to be fair, Denise Milani was a little older than what Paul Frampton was looking for in a partner. So, but he was willing to make an exception for the internationally famous bikini model.
Oh,
so,
sure,
you know,
sure.
She may not be
science goes out the window.
She wasn't in her prime birthing years, Elizabeth. So, but
how
he's
old
like,
was
look.
She?
And I think she's like in her late 30s. Yeah, so Paul begins to tell his friends about his new online gal pal, and he's like, you know, these guys all being like calculation obsessed, you know, chalkboard nerds and physicists, they have no idea who Denise Milani is, so, or why she's famous, anything, right? So Paul used to like to confidently tell them, go look her up on the internet.
Did he like print out her picture and put it in one of those binders where you can slide a picture in the front? And that's where he keeps all his calculations, yeah. And they're like, who's that? Ooh, guy. He's like, that's my gal pal.
It's my little
online
friend.
Who is in her late 30s, which is also, you know, reproductive years. So chill out, dude.
And look at her. I mean, look at these prime fertile hips. Now, one friend did as Paul instructed them to do. Mm-hmm. He went home, he looked her up online.
I bet he
And
did.
He saw who Denise Milani was. And then he went back the next day to Paul and he told his friend, you're out of your goddamn mind.
You've been chugging Eggo Nug.
And he said, and I quote, and I told him that, you're not talking to the real girl. Why would a young woman like that be interested in an old guy like you? But he really believed that he had a pretty young woman who wanted to marry him.
Mm.
So it's not like Paul wasn't confronted with the truth. He was. It was shoved right up in his face, and he was like, I'm going to ignore that.
Oh, God.
But you have to understand, this is the power of his mind. He's
sure.
a genius, Elizabeth. He's also used to looking far past what was in front of him, instead preferring to chase after elusive things like dark matter.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or Denise Milani. So there, his ego was also something to contend with. So as Paul Frampton himself told the New York Times, well, I have been accused of having a huge ego. Now, to his credit, his ego was largely earned. I have to give him that. You know, if one can earn an ego, right? He started out his life in hardscrabble England. He came from what he dubbed, quote, a lower middle class family. His mother pushed him to achieve, and she would often brag of his grades, and she would show them to the neighbors. Like, look what my little Paul did at school, right? He went off to Oxford at 18. He gets a PhD. He goes to America. He gets a postdoc at Princeton. He goes on to have this celebrated career in theoretical physics. He writes a ton of papers. Now, his name may not be as famous outside of physics as, say, Stephen Hawking or Richard Feynman or even somebody like Murray Gell-Mann. I'm not sure if that one springs
no
to mind.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Anyway, Murray Gell-Mann, he had an 80th birthday celebration. And he's a Nobel laureate. He was a Murray Gell-Mann. He came up with the eightfold way.
You're looking at me like, you moron.
No,
he's
I'm
a,
not.
He's a Nobel laureate.
No, I understand that people wouldn't be into like, well, the quark
he,
model of physics.
Does he have a TV show?
Who came up with it? Got a good name for TV, don't he? So they're supposed to lionize this living giant of physics, right? And Paul Frampton decides to choose to talk about himself. At one point, he said he liked to think of himself as, quote, cleverer than Newton. Isaac Newton.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. He was so taken with this line, he repeated it throughout his speech. It's supposed to be about the 80th birthday of Murray Gell-Mann, right?
And all he does is talk about,
talks about
he's
himself.
Fake Newton.
And he's, yeah, exactly. He's better than fake Newton. And he keeps singing this like it's a like a chorus for a pop song. He's like, I'm smarter. I'm cleverer than Newton, right? He also mentioned his grades at Oxford in the speech.
Oh, get out of town.
Yes. And then he pointed out that he and Newton were in the top 1 percentile of intelligence.
Boring.
Yeah.
But I yell when I'm there.
Exactly. This same metric, it would often come up later for Paul Frampton. When he was in prison and being interviewed by the New York Times, he gave the obvious reason for why he was behind bars, being Denise Milani. And he said, that, quote, she's in the top 1 percentile of how women look. So apparently he was very preoccupied with the top 1 percentile. And, you know, he said as much to Denise Milani, or actually rather not Denise Milani, the one he was texting and chatting with.
I bet he calculated the symmetry of her face.
Oh, you just hang on, girl.
Oh, good.
He told her, and I use the term lightly, her. He said, quote, as these days tick by and I think about it a lot, the more I realize that we are the perfect couple in all respects. You know, just a physicist and a bikini model, perfect in all respects.
He's not 3 years old. He's like 13.
Exactly. I like that he believes that he's in the top 1% of big brains. She's in the top 1% of big hotness. All right. And that makes them a perfect couple. It's right there on paper.
The yin,
it's in the
yang,
calculations, Elizabeth.
Brains,
how can you deny
the brawn,
this?
It's,
I mean, admittedly, this is not where most of us think that life happens. But, you know, it does because Christy Brinkley married Billy Joel. This can happen. Paul Frampton, you know, he could get married to Denise Milani.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I mean,
stranger things have happened.
I liked it. I like his way of thinking. You know, I like that he, Denise Milani, and Isaac Newton are all elites, and they're the top 1 percentile. Yes. I mean, yes, Denise Milani got into the 1% club based on her bikini pics and her big breasts, but her 1 percentile is just as important as Paul Frampton's 1%. He's invalidating himself with his own logic.
That's true.
I love it. Anyway, we'll be back after a little break, and I'll get into where the cocaine comes into this story.
Oh, I can't wait. Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply. As you know, the world can be a dangerous and unpredictable place. With every crime I've studied, I've learned one thing. Your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. You don't want to worry. You just want peace of mind. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. For every ridiculous robbery and theft we talk about, it's pretty obvious the crimes could be avoided with a solid security system. A good home security system keeps people prepared and aware. SimpliSafe is that system. It was named Best Home Security Systems 2024 by U.S. News and World Report. And it doesn't just protect your home from crime, it also alerts you to fire, floods, and other emergencies. They offer sensors and cameras backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There are no contracts, and there's a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
All right, Elizabeth, where were we?
Cocaine.
That's right. Okay, and soon to be in Argentinian prison.
Oh,
but first,
God.
Let's get back to Paul Frampton.
Yeah, Paul.
My man, Paul Frampton. So he was working on how to connect the Higgs boson, a.k.a. the God particle, with dark energy so he could explain the rate of cosmic expansion, a.k.a. the Hubble parameter, which shows the universe is expanding at an accelerated rate.
Is this part of the dark arts?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. It's, yeah, to you, yes.
Dark energy.
The New York Times.
Some people have dark energy.
They totally do. Yeah, and some people are dark matter.
And in space, there's dark energy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're talking about.
I know all these things. I should start teaching physics.
You probably could.
I could.
Yeah, you just get a couple books.
You put on the AI chat
bot. Put them on the desk,
bot.
And you let them know, look, I read these.
Like, you guys are all full of dark energy. I'm out of here.
Yeah. You change your dark vibes. So New York Times, they visited Paul Frampton, as I said,
His
soon-to-be Argentine prison cell. Now, I'm just jumping ahead because we know that he gets busted. I already told you that.
Yeah,
so,
spoiler.
At the moment, he was in prison, and he was hoping that the president of Harvard would slip a note to the president of Argentina, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. And he was like, you know, while the presidente was visiting Harvard, maybe the president could just give the note to her on Paul Frampton's behalf. Now, this is what he'd heard somebody say could happen. He didn't.
Wait, so
the president of Harvard didn't tell him she was going to do this.
He wants to slip a note to the president of Argentina.
To get him out of jail. And he was believing that this is just what's going to happen. So, New York Times.
Wait. Get him out of jail.
Out of prison. He's in prison at this point of the story,
but
right?
Why?
Because of the cocaine. I'm going to get into that. I'm just telling you, I'm jumping around like Tarantino, okay?
Yeah, I'm like totally lost. Okay.
So he's in prison in Argentina. And he's
but you're going to tell us how that happened.
Yeah, I've already told you that it happened, so...
Yeah, but I want to know how.
I know, I'm going to tell you. Don't worry, you're going to love this. So he's just basically, I want to give you more of the Paul Frampton-ness of it all, right? So the dude is sitting in prison and he's telling the New York Times, who's just flown down to interview him because it's a big deal that this big physics professor is gotten busted on charges of drug smuggling, right? So they're like, dude, what happened? And he's like, oh man, don't worry about it. The president of Harvard's going to meet with the president of Argentina. She's probably going to slip a note and get me out of here. And they're like, are you for real right now? And he's like, oh, totally. And he said, and I quote, I think I've never been discussed by two such important people in my life. Elizabeth?
Oh, my God.
Never happened. The discussion never happened. New York Times called up. Well, they're like, what are you talking about?
We're discussing it, so
yeah, well,
he made it.
He did. He made it all into this press. So 1 month into his prison stay, Paul Frampton was willing to now face the truth that the real Denise Milani was not in love with him.
Oh, no.
The prisoners in the Argentine prison had helped him see reality, Dodd. This is reality, my man. They pointed out that who he was chatting with the whole time was probably not even a woman, and instead was some low-level scumbag in an organized crime ring, and that's who he'd fallen in love with online, and that's who he'd poured his heart out to. And was a little bit hard for the physicist to do the calculations on.
He's like, I've been talking to Jorge this whole time.
Yeah, well, then as the story is coming out, the real Denise Milani, right? She gets, you know, interviewed. They're like, what's up with this story?
Yeah.
This physicist, he goes down, he gets busted smuggling cocaine. He says, you're his girlfriend. She's like, I've never met him. I don't know who he is. But she says, quote, she feels sympathy for him.
Yeah.
Right? So then this newspaper story gets published. His fellow prisoners, they bring it to him. They, hey, look, your girlfriend's in the paper. She's talking about you. She just said, she don't know who you are, man. And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, he reads the story and he's like, oh. So then the New York Times comes down. He quotes the story. And he's like, well, I feel sympathy for her, too. Right. He's like trying to like reach out. And the New York Times reporter told the physics professor, well, she's still not going to date you, Paul.
Aww.
No, I'm kidding. He didn't really say that. I threw that part in there. But anyway, so what really went down between Paul Frampton and not Denise Milani?
Please, yes.
You want to know?
I am so confused, yes.
Okay, well, starting in November 2011, Paul Frampton was on a dating site,
Mate1.com.
Mate1, yeah. Like
just
mate
go,
number
he wants
one.
To mate someone?
Yeah, exactly. You into mating? You like to meet someone to mate? He saw a profile of a bikini model. It met his criteria for what he was looking for in his next partner.
Of course.
The chesty bikini model. She had a beguiling smile, warmth in her eyes. He's like, I bet she might like a physics professor like me. He was immediately smitten. And at the time, he was in the physics department at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. He was the chair of the department. And he was often, you know, he'd be at work, obviously, as a chair. He'd have some time to himself. So when he wasn't teaching classes, he's in his office. And he'd get, like, a notification sound from his computer. Bing! He'd look over and he's like, oh, look, it's my baby. And he would click. And it'd be not Denise Milani. And she'd want to chat, right? And the couple, they used Yahoo Messenger, as many of us have, right? And so he'd be like, are you there, honey? And just not Denise Milani would text him. And she'd be like, what are you doing now? Not Denise Milani would ping him again like an hour or so later. And he's just like so pleased by all the attention not Denise Milani is giving him, right?
Yeah.
So this attention, it's like catnip for the lonely divorce scientist.
Yeah,
he gets addicted
yeah.
and hooked. And also remember who it's coming from. So it's doubly working on him.
Right.
So this not Denise Milani, she starts to open up to him. She confides that she's looking to move on with her life. She wants to find a real partner, someone who could love her for who she is, not what she looks like. She's done being a bikini model. She wants to settle down, have a family, you know, leave modeling behind. She was tired of being an eye magnet for lecherous old men and an arm charm for young, wealthy men. She wanted something for Denise, right? Now, not Denise Milani asked the theoretical physicist, do you think you could ever be proud of someone like me? Now,
he
told his friends that he would be able to love her just as she was.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's knocking on the wrong door. She's like, "Do you? I want to be loved not for what I look like." He's like, "Oh, next."
He told his friends he would look past her bikini and her breasts and see the real woman underneath all that glamour and spray on tan. He's like, "I see the heart of
the
Denise
Milani, the skeleton and
the bones
guts
and sinew and the tissue." So he would ask her to call him sometimes because he was like, "Oh, why don't we get on the phone and we can talk?" And they'd try to set up a time to talk, and coincidentally she would just miss the call or she wouldn't be able. So part of him grew a little suspicious where he's like, oh, we can never manage to do this.
I just
like,
want to talk to her jugs.
He needs some confirmation those boobs were real. The part of him that was suspicious was apparently very small and underdeveloped, because it never really got a hold of the rest of him, because not when not Denise Milani was right there going, what are you doing right now, darling? And she's like, why don't we get on a call? And she's like, oh, I can't right now. maybe later, right? This doesn't bother him. Uh-huh. But eventually, he's like, you know, I really would like to see you. She's like, oh, okay, well, you should come to see me next time on da-da-da. I'm modeling. I'm all around the world. And she keeps stalling him, right? Uh-huh. Eventually, she's like, oh, darling, I'm going to be in La Paz, Bolivia. And he's like, okay, I'll come down Perfect. To La Paz, Bolivia, right? And isn't that always the way? You're like, hey, we should call each other sometime. And the person's like, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. But you know what? How about instead come down to Bolivia?
Yeah.
You know, like instead of a phone call, hey, just come to Bolivia.
Ladies, we've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, how many times? Anyway, the internationally famous bikini model, she was working, as I said. Mm-hmm. And according to not Denise Milani, she thought the theoretical physicist could use a vacation. You work so hard,
exactly.
Paul.
Exactly. Just
take some
looking
time.
Out for him.
So come down and we can finally meet in person. All right, January 7th, 2012, the big day. Paul Frampton sets foot on a flight to La Paz. At this point, he is now a 68-year-old physicist. He's off to meet the bikini model that he believes is in love with him. But and why would he doubt her? She's texted him that she loves him.
He has it in writing.
Multiple
he screen
times.
Capped
That's
it.
Like a contract, Elizabeth.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, but, you know, unfortunately, he runs into trouble at the airport. Not Denise Milani had sent him an e-ticket. To Paul Frampton, but when he attempted to use it, the ticket was invalid. It didn't work.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I know, right? Surprise.
Can't believe it.
So he gets stuck in the Toronto airport for about a whole day.
Wait, why is he flying out of Toronto?
He's flying from, like, basically...
I thought he was at UNC.
Yeah, he was. I don't know why he was flying out of Toronto. Maybe he was visiting. Anyway, he goes to Toronto. And then he goes from Toronto.
Like,
just wait. Next stop, Santiago, Chile.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Sure.
After a day in Toronto, he goes to Santiago, Chile, and then he manages to get over to La Paz. After four
Sounds
days,
like a fun trip.
After 4 days of traveling,
oh God.
4 days in airports.
This ding dong went from North Carolina to Toronto, probably had a stopover in Atlanta.
On a ticket that didn't exist until he could then buy a ticket.
And yeah.
Exactly. So he arrives in La Paz, and now he reaches out to not Denise Milani to tell her the good news. I finally arrived, right? And so, but she has some bad news for him. Oh, my Paul, I had to leave, right? So she tells him she had to fly back to Europe for a modeling job,
oh,
right?
Of course.
She'll be in Brussels. And he's like, I know where Brussels is. And so Frampton, he's like a dog after a bone at this point. He's like, I'll get a new ticket and I'll fly to Brussels. I can join you there in Brussels. And so he goes, he checks in his hotel and he's, you know, he's like pulls out his notebooks and starts working on physics, waiting
for... And he's like told all the students, I've moved your class online. We're not meeting this
exactly,
week.
Pretty much. Like class was dismissed for next week and till I get back. All right.
Move it online. Get on Canvas.
So yeah, just read a book or something. Read one of my papers. Tell me it was good. So he tells her, he's like, you know, I'll go back to the hotel. I'll work on some stuff. Then you contact me and give me all the updates on where I should fly, what hotel, blah, blah, blah. Right. So he starts working on his, like, you know, Higgs boson stuff. And then he doesn't hear from her. So he texts in not Denise Milani. And they make a new plan. She gets back to him. A second e-ticket gets sent to him, right? It's a ticket to Brussels.
Uh-huh.
So at least he's going to the right city this time.
Yeah.
But not Denise Milani has the one small request for her little Pookie Pie. Or whatever nickname she
sure.
had for Paul Frampton.
Like Pookie Pie.
Right? So she says, hey, Pookie Pie, could you bring me a bag of my stuff? And she's like, I just need you before you fly to Brussels. And he's like, I left the bag in La Paz. I really need it. And she's like, oh, are you sure, Lumpy Lump? Why do you need this?
And she, or whatever, Lumpy Lump.
Whatever nickname he called her. I'm making him up, Elizabeth.
Lumpy Lump.
Lumpy Lump, right? So he goes, he's like, oh, of course, what, you know, you need your bag. Is it like important? She's like, yes, it has sentimental value
it's full
to
of
me.
Funyuns.
He's like, okay, no problem. So he goes to pick up her forgotten luggage and he contacts a friend of his. Like, you know, he's like, oh, I'll do that later today. So like, while he's at the airport, he talks to his friend of his who is a physicist and a lawyer.
Oh,
so this
wow.
physicist lawyer friend.
That mom must be
yeah,
proud.
Yeah, right? So Mrs. Dixon's son, John Dixon, she's listening to her friend's story. And this is John Dixon's account. He says, and I told Paul, quote, well, inside the suitcase sewn into the lining will be cocaine. You're in big trouble. Paul said, I'll be careful. I'll make sure there isn't cocaine in there. And if there is, I'll ask them to remove it. I thought they were probably going to kidnap him and torture him to get his money. I didn't know he didn't have any money. I said, well, you're going to be killed, Paul. So whom should I contact when you disappear? And he said, you can contact my brother and my former wife. So he's being all cheeky.
Oh, my
cheeky.
God. These two. My God.
So his friend and lawyer, John Dixon, he's like the Oracle of Delphi in this
yes.
story. Right?
Yes.
And just like the Oracle of Delphi, no one listens. Or they miss misinterpreted, right? So a little after a week after he arrived in La Paz, Paul meets up with the stranger to get the luggage bag for his baby, not Denise Milani, right? Mm-hmm. And he meets the stranger on a, quote, dark street, and the bag was brought to him by a young man. The luggage was not what one would expect for an internationally famous model. It wasn't like an Hermes bag. It wasn't Givenchy. The luggage was just some ratty, plain black carry-on that you'd see like going around the airport turnstile baggage pickup. You're like, whose bag is that? Right? No. So it got like duct tape on it. He's like just shy of that.
Why are you talking about my luggage? Like
so he wheels this luggage back to his hotel room. And to assuage that voice of his friend, the physicist lawyer, he's like, let me open up this luggage and make sure there's no cocaine in here.
Yeah.
So he does it. He opens up the luggage. It is empty. There's nothing inside of it. And he's like, wait, there's nothing inside of it.
But was it heavy enough that he thought there was something inside of it before he opened it? I mean, you can tell the difference from an empty suitcase to a full suitcase.
Sure, but a couple kilos doesn't weigh that much. So if you put a couple kilos of cocaine in an empty suitcase, you may not know that there's the difference.
But I don't know. I'm just thinking, how did he not know he was handed an empty suitcase when
he's a physicist, Elizabeth. Only he can answer these questions.
He's in the top 1% of the brains.
How did you detect the nothingness in the suitcase?
Yes, that's a good question. Was it full of dark matter?
Exactly.
As I suspected.
You're catching on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he opens
it up.
Has
it got a Higgs boson in it? Look out.
There's no Higgs bosons, no cocaine, nothing inside.
It's got 4 Higgs bosons in it. A pack of 4. Like a ring tab.
But they sell the buns in 6-packs. It's a total problem.
It's so annoying. How do I get my Higgs bosons in the buns?
How do I get my quantum fields into my general relativity? Anyway, so physicists will love that joke.
It doesn't dark matter.
Anyway, so he feels around the empty suitcase. He's like, okay, this is weird. It's an empty suitcase. Why does my baby Lumpy Lump need an empty suitcase?
Where are all the Funyuns?
He writes to her. He's like, Lumpy Lump, baby, why the empty suitcase? And she's like, oh, my peachy pie, don't worry. It has sentimental value to me. I told you this. And he's like, okay, that's good enough for me, baby. So the next day, he packs up for the airport, goes down, carries the empty bag for her.
And empty sentimental value.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just okay. Empty. Yeah. Okay. I love that. My grandfather, he gave me that luggage after the war.
That roller bag.
He brought it over mountains. He carried that. So anyway,
it is a symbol of bravery in my family.
We pass it down generation to generation. So he stuffs some dirty clothes in the bag and he goes down to the airport, right? And he's like, okay, I got my baby, not Denise Milani, sentimentally important luggage. I've got my own bag. Let's rock, right? And he flies out of La Paz, no problems. He checks, and so interestingly, Elizabeth, I forgot to tell you, he did not fly directly to Brussels. Instead, I don't know what his deal is on. He just loves airports. His ticket goes from, flies to Buenos Aires in Argentina.
Okay.
So he flew south.
Sure. Okay.
Europe's the other direction.
Yeah.
I don't get him.
Well, maybe that's the only place. Maybe
to South America.
Maybe there's not like.
I don't know.
What flies out of La Paz? I would imagine you can get to Europe
from
La
Paz. I'm sure Air France flies out of La Paz.
This dingus.
So he lands safely in Argentina, but now he's going to have to wait for a new e-ticket from not Denise Milani for his connecting flight from Buenos Aires up to Brussels. How long did he wait, Elizabeth? How long did he wait?
I don't know.
Try 40 hours.
40 hours.
He waited a day and a half and then some for this airport. Like I said, homie was a dog after a bone.
Yeah, a dog with a bone.
Exactly. So he sits up in the Buenos Aires airport for damn near 2 days waiting on, I don't know, doing physics problems.
Sure, yeah.
Eating from various airport restaurants and just sleeping on his luggage.
Yeah.
New ticket from not Denise Milani. It finally arrives before he started day 3 of the airport, right? So Paul Frampton, at this point, he's almost lost his patience. He's already contacted friends back home and asked them to get him a ticket to fly him back to North Carolina. He's like, I got students. They've been online for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
I got to do something.
Exactly.
But this is when fate plays a hand, Elizabeth. And I'd like you to close your eyes and picture it.
My eyes are closed.
You are at the Ezeiza Airport in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Hi.
When this temple to flight opened way back in 1949, it was the third largest airport in the world. It was built during the first presidency of Juan Perón, you know, Evita's husband.
Uh-huh, cry for me.
It was a nice looking airport as far as airports go. But as you sit by yourself waiting for your flight back to the States, you do one of your favorite activities, people watching. Your Spanish isn't the best, so you don't always know what's going on, but you catch sight of a cool-looking family. They're all smiles. The mother huddles her family to the adjacent gate. You watch as they seat. You enjoy watching this clearly indigenous family. You guess that they're most likely from the Aymara tribe in Bolivia. You know this only because they're bedecked in traditional Bolivian dress, and the mother is wearing one of those cool-looking bowler hats.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
You casually watch the family get comfortable, and the father breaks out some Tupperware and gives snacks to the kids. A man seated by himself, rather close to you, catches your eye. He's been mostly scribbling in a journal. You guess he's a writer, maybe a journalist, maybe a poet, who knows? But he looks far more like an aging academic of the kind of the science set. Mm-hmm. He looks like a rumpled physics professor, which turns out is exactly what he is. Mm. Good job, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Next to him are two bags, one white, one black. You don't know it and you never guess it, but inside one of the bags is a life-changing amount of cocaine. There is an announcement over the airport speakers, in Spanish first, then in English. The heavily accented PA announcer asks for passenger Paul Frampton to come to the ticket counter. You watch the rumpled academic look up as if his name was called. Turns out his name was called, and then he confirms this by getting up and walking over to the airline employee at the counter by the gate. You hear him say to the woman, "I'm Paul Frampton. Is the airline giving me an upgrade to first class?" The woman at the counter at the gate smiles and says, "No, you are not to get an upgrade." You see them before Paul Frampton does. It looks like a police and DEA task force. They come in matching jackets, hats, guns, lots of guns. They aim the guns at the physics professor.
Oh.
One Argentine officer asks him, "Are you Paul Frampton?" The academic answers, yes. But what the hell is going on, you now wonder. Totally geeked out on this excellent people watching. This is so rare, a police bust in the airport. This Argentine officer, he asks the rumpled professor a second question. "Is this your bag, Mr. Frampton?" You lean in, waiting to hear the answer. You hear the rumpled professor answer. He says, that's my bag. The other one's not my bag, but I checked it in. That's good enough for the cops. They arrest the rumpled professor right in front of your eyes. He's dragged away as he argues in English, no, stop, somebody, this is not supposed to happen. I'm Paul Frampton." So, Elizabeth,
yes,
you don't get to see it, but when the officers take the rumpled physics professor into a secluded back area, the officers rip open the lining of the baggage, and they discover more than 4 pounds of cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
4 pounds.
Elizabeth, do you know what a honey trap is?
Yes.
You do? Well, let's take a little break, and after this, we'll get into discussing a honey trap.
Ay, ay, ay.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us, to crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
All right, Elizabeth, I teased you before with the honey trap.
You said you know
what it is. Do you know what a honey trap is?
Isn't it when you like to lure someone into a con with a beautiful lady?
Yeah, or basically sex appeal. It can be a man, a woman, whoever. You just say, yeah. Hey, typically it's a woman, and you bait the trap with a woman, it almost never fails, is kind of the saying, uh-huh. except for just a little more colloquially said. Uh-huh. So it may surprise you, or it may not surprise you, probably not, to learn that Paul Frampton was far from the first to fall for this long con drug smuggler move.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there was a woman from New Zealand, Sharon Armstrong. She fell from almost the exact same game. She was an executive, smart, accomplished woman, similar to Paul. She met a new guy online. They chatted online for months. Then they made a plan to meet in person. They would finally meet in person in London. She made a quick stop in Buenos Aires to grab some important business papers for her lover.
Of course.
So she was arrested at the airport.
Yeah, he's like a dancer at the Thunder Down Under.
Yes,
and
but
he's
got my
papers,
my very important exactly. business papers. So she gets busted 5 kilos of cocaine. Tried, convicted. Mm. She gets 4 years, 10 months. So,
wow.
She also had the same judge in her case as Paul Frampton had in his case.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so anyway, sitting in his Buenos Aires prison, it's apparently an old-style South American prison, on the pavilion that he was staying on his level, there were 79 other prisoners. Like him, almost all of them claimed that they were innocent, and Paul Frampton was just another innocent man in prison with all these other innocent men. But that's not how he saw it. To his way of thinking, he was still someone special. As he told the New York Times reporter who flew down to interview him, quote, "Some people will say they're innocent, but when I talk to them further, it becomes very clear that they were somehow involved. I think people like me are less than 1%.
He is
so now he's less than 1%. He's in an Argentine prison, and yet he's gone up in the ranking he's giving himself.
Exactly.
Anyway, so his fellow prisoners and prison guards, they used to like to tease him. Hey, professor, have you won the Nobel yet? So the New York Times included that in their little write-up on him. I loved that note moment, just saying. Anyway, so please imagine this British-born, Oxford-educated, theoretical physics professor sharing a prison pavilion in an old South American prison with 79 other hardened criminals all from South America, most of them on drug charges. Just picture that moment for a second.
I'm
let it wash
it,
over
I
you,
suppose.
Right? He liked to get up early on Sunday mornings before his fellow inmates would awaken, mm-hmm. and he'd put on the classical music station.
Make brunch.
Yeah, exactly. And then when the hard men woke up, they'd switch it back to a music video channel that played music they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. Thus was life in prison for Paul. Now, of course, plenty of pics of the real Denise Milani, they would make it into prison, and his fellow inmates were sure to send them over to Paul, like, look, your girlfriend, she's in another magazine.
Oh,
so every time she's...
That's rough.
Yeah, that was tough on him. So he got to see how his girlfriend was doing on the outside.
Yeah.
Anyways, before he was convicted and locked up, Paul Frampton never thought he'd be found guilty. The trouble for him was that the prosecutors had his text messages and his chats with not Denise Milani.
Yeah.
And the trouble was that the theoretic physics professor took the stand. And you don't watch TV, Elizabeth, but I do. And I know this from Law and Order. Never yes. take the stand if you don't have to.
Exactly.
He took the stand.
Oh.
So according to the Argentine prosecutor, Frampton had sent highly questionable texts to not Denise Milani. They had his phone after all, right? So the prosecutor goes into court and he reads out the texts to not Denise Milani. And he's like, quote, "On January 22nd at 9:46 a.m., you wrote from Aziza Airport to the person you understood to be Denise Milani, quote, was worried only about sniffer dogs, but more." So, oh no, thought his defense attorney.
Yeah.
So things are not looking good for old Paul Frampton.
Yeah.
So the prosecutor would read more of these text messages aloud, and there was one from 9:52 in the morning of his airport arrest. Quote, "Need to know if your loyalty is with the bad guy agent and Bolivian friends or good guy, your husband."
Oh, no.
There was another damning text from 9:56 a.m. It was about the hotel in Brussels where they were planning to meet. The hotel was called Siru, Elizabeth,
okay.
S-I-R-U.
Uh-huh.
So this Frampton texted not Denise Milani, quote, "Siru," in all caps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the hotel Siru. "Siru is ambush." Right, that's it.
Okay.
And then another at 10:14 a.m., so now 20 minutes later, quote, "Your naivete is bad for me, us. This is millions. No zero, okay?" All caps. At 11:19 a.m.
Is he dipping into the luggage there?
Dude, seriously, he starts his winding his own like pedal. And at 11:19 a.m., sitting there in the airport, waiting for his flight to finally meet not Denise Milani, Frampton switches it up and sends her an email. He's like, "You're apparently not getting my text messages." And he directly references the cocaine in the email. Always a bad place to reference cocaine is in your emails.
Is the email totally Denise at AOL.com?
No, I don't know any emails. But he writes, quote, "This stuff is worth nothing in Bolivia, but millions in Europe. You meet me at the airport and we do not go near the hotel the agent suggested. Stay at another hotel." So
he's in.
Yeah,
at this point.
At this point, it's pretty much clear that he's arranging the cocaine deal that he thinks he's doing with not Denise Milani.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, I didn't know it was in my luggage.
Oh, yeah, no. he's texting like he's in a crime movie and he's looking out for the double cross. He's like so convinced he's like now in heat.
Yeah.
So he just wants he and his baby to do one last deal and then get free together.
God.
There's more texts and emails. 11:47 a.m., Bramden goes back to text messages. He writes, Monday arrival change. You must not tell the Coca goons. So now he actually puts in the word Coca.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not like a band name, Coca goons. Yeah, hey, you want to see the Coca goons?
The Coca goons.
You know your friends, the Coca goons? Yeah, no. So 12:16 p.m., he writes in all caps, because now apparently he's redlining. He writes, why are you ignoring me? At this last moment, we did not decide how to meet tomorrow in Brussels and keep Coca and lives. At zero, we may lose both. Not at Ciru, brother. You're going to lose it sitting right there in that airport. But apparently he calms down because at 1:06, he then tries to get back into her like graces. He's now texting in normal letters, not all caps.
Uh-huh.
We may do a cool 1 million. So,
oh, my God.
The prosecutor asked Frampton to explain his text. He told the court that they were just jokes.
No.
He told the New York Times, quote, I was trying to keep Denise amused. I had already decided to fly back to North Carolina. So to keep Denise Milani amused, he sent her roughly 30 messages and emails. None of them seemed very amusing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
she's
I laughed.
She's not writing back all.
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
You card.
So what was really wild was how chilly was in the airport while he's sending all these text messages. He's got the bag of cocaine, right? That now we know he knows is there. The prosecutor played security footage from his time at the airport. So it's the airport security camera, right? And in the footage, you see Paul Frampton working at a cafe table. Then he just gets up. He wanders away from his open laptop. He just leaves on the table. Uh-huh. Next to the two bags, one is filled with pounds of cocaine. And he just wanders away. And he's just like, I'll just leave my mismatching his and hers luggage with the coke. One in, one without.
Oh my God.
He's gone for 25 minutes. He comes back. He's doing window shopping. He's window shopping.
He's at the duty free.
He's just sitting there looking in like, how much for the bottle of rum? And then he
talks. Can I get that Brookstone neck pillow?
Yeah, exactly. I want one for her. One for me. One for her. Anyway, 25 minutes pass. He comes back. He checks on his stuff. And then he's like, you know what? I want to go check out that Brookstone pillow again.
Yeah.
He goes to another one. He's gone for another half an hour. He leaves all the stuff behind again. Apparently, he's far more trusting than anyone I've ever known.
Really?
Yeah. So he also apparently believes, like my mother does, that God protects fools and children. And he ain't a child. So anyway, there was a lot of other damning evidence in the court case. Like there was calculations he had done of how much the kilos of cocaine would be worth. And it was in Frampton's handwriting. According to Frampton, he'd done this calculations after he was arrested. He was just trying to calculate the street value of the cocaine he was caught smuggling. He was just like, I just want to see what was going to be thrown at me. So I did a couple, you know, back of the envelope calculations.
Yeah.
And the calculations are like 1 gram, $200, 2,000 grams, $400,000. Turns out he was caught with 1,980 grams of cocaine.
Oh.
And the calculations were more evidence that, quote, my mind works in a strange way. Yeah, it does, buddy. You're out there calculating. You make, one is you're taking notes on a criminal conspiracy.
Right.
The stringer bell rule, you're just broke right off the bat. And also, you're a physicist. Can't you do these in your head? I mean, these numbers? That was multiplying by two.
Well, do you
1 gram, $200. 2,000 grams, $400,000. That's multiplying by two.
Doesn't he have a calculator on his phone?
Yes. Anyway, no. I don't get it. Anyway, so after he decided, you know, while I'm amusing myself, he calculated the odds that not Denise Milani would marry him.
Oh, get no.
The prosecutor quoted the note he had, quote, 5 standard deviations, 99.99994%. Frampton then explained, quote, the criterion for the discovery of the Higgs boson had to be 5 standard deviations, which means it's extremely unlikely to be a statistical fluctuation. Yeah, quote, calculating the probability that Denise Milani would become my second wife, which was almost a certainty.
No, but she's in that 0.0006.
So, as I told you, he said that they're all bad jokes. Unsurprisingly, that did not work as a court defense, even in Argentina, which apparently he had very little respect for their court.
Uh-huh.
And the court found him guilty, sent him to prison, as I've already told you, Elizabeth, and he went 4 years, 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where he got to sit and think about all those emails he sent to not Denise Milani, how he'd laid out their future together. Naturally, he told her that she'd relocate to where he lived and then she'd move to North Carolina and then they'd make a life together in Chapel Hill. He told the bikini model that she would have to leave all that behind as she already wanted to because she'd have to be ready for the wife of a college professor. It's a totally different skill set.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah. She wouldn't have to work, of course, because he had his work and she could spend her time working out and making girlfriends at the gym or yoga studio or wherever else she'd decided to keep fit. And when he got home from his hard day of calculating bosons and leptons, they'd go down to the shore, maybe take a long walk on the beach. He literally is the guy who likes long walks on the beach. So he was like, what do you like to do? I like long walks on the beach.
Pina coladas.
Eventually, she
suitcases full of
she'd
coke.
Get pregnant with one of their mini children. And after she lost the baby weight, maybe she would go back to work as a lingerie model.
Oh my God.
She could get a contract with Victoria's Secrets because, you know, his mind is in the 90s. So he's like, Victoria's Secrets.
I just want to stand behind him and kick him in the back of the knees. Just watch him crumble.
At one point, this fake cocaine cowboy, he told the not Denise Milani, you're the best thing that's happened in my cursed life. I just hope that the scumbag reading it on the other end was just
dying.
Tickled black.
Absolutely dying.
He's like, Hector, come here.
Look at this. Like, sure thing, chief.
So eventually the dude gets out of prison and he'd spent time working on his papers, his calculations, because he's a physicist.
Oh, so he didn't write a book.
No, but he did work on new papers of colleagues. He got some journal papers out of it. He was advising students from his prison cell. Yeah. He still had one hope in his life that he'd only imagined in his mind that would be proven real by some other scientist's experiment and that one day he'd win a Nobel Prize based on one of his predictions, right? And he'd made plenty of predictions of new particles, all sorts of physical models. And he told the New York Times, quote, that would bring an enormous sense of fulfillment, quite apart from the Nobel Prize. I predicted a particle that's actually in the universe. Wouldn't that be a rush? Much better than other ways of getting a lot of dopamine. Bro, that's what love does. Love makes you feel like, anyway. So in one of his emails to not Denise Milani, Paul Frampton wrote, quote, I only think of cuddling all day and having sex all night with Denise Milani. How can you prove that you are Denise Milani?
Since
he didn't have a fellow scientist to confirm his prediction that she was indeed Denise Milani, he had to rely on his own mental and emotional calculations. Uh-huh. He decided she's real, and he was obviously wrong. So now he at one point did contact a forensic linguist to ask him to go over some text messages to prove that he had not written the text messages. And because he claimed, and I quote, I didn't write the text. I've always known that they were invented. They were invented by or for the prosecutor in my trial. The forensic linguist he hired reported that Frampton's emails are written in a very formal style and that no one would expect a professor to use that sort of language in his emails to a not Denise Milani, but that was not the case. And quote, in approximately 600 words of running text, there's only one contraction, which was in a message he wrote where he said, I'll try to send you a more specific email tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time in his text messages, he's substituting the number two for the infinitive two. He's putting in the word you for the word you. It didn't seem like him. It seemed much more like text speak from like a teenager.
Yeah.
Then there's also the fact that when one of the text messages, which is, remember, this is a monolingual theoretical physicist.
In his text messages,
he apparently wrote situacion, like situation in Spanish, like with the C. So that's only something that usually a native Spanish speaker would do. Anyway, the forensic linguist, they went on the whole thing and they said, quote, in addition to the above points, I suggest the text message read like a film script with phrases such as sniffer dogs, the apparent obsession of the writer with loyalty, and therefore its antithesis, betrayal, the danger, ergo, as in life-death situation, the reference to weapons, as in with no gun, and the, I suggest melodramatic, want to kiss you before I die. Now, as the linguist concluded, the quote, the preoccupations inherent in these messages, and more importantly, the terms in which they are expressed are not compatible with a person who has spent his life in academia.
I mean,
it's kind of like the thing I always tell you. If I was going to go do a crime, I would just give my phone to a friend and have them walk around with it because police are so convinced that if they see your phone somewhere, that's you.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was an academic trying to get away with this, I would type like somebody who was me. But I don't think he did that.
But he's not so clever, so I don't think.
So he said he blamed the translator. He said that when he said he was in court and he said that the text messages were his and that he was joking, he's like, no, that's not what I said. I said the prosecutor must be joking. So that's how he tried to get out of it.
So he's
over here using all of his big brain to try to come up with weird lies. Anyway, he chalks up all of it. It didn't work. He decided he's not going to try to go after the prosecutor in Argentina. He said that, you know, quote, the whole thing was surreal. The whole thing was surreal.
Yeah.
And he has chalked the whole experience up to not his own foolish, ego-driven fantasies, but rather that the Argentine prosecutor was just out to get him. So it was a conspiracy to, as he told the New York Times, quote, you might say, what did they have against Paul Frampton?
God.
And if you press him, he will add, the Argentinian system is totally corrupt. Do you think that the prosecutor is going to admit he created this evidence? Not a chance in Argentina. That's far less likely than him winning a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
And given his choice, Paul Frampton's going to focus on that Nobel Prize. So there you go. The cocaine tales of the not Denise Milani.
Oh, my God.
So what's our ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth?
Ridiculous takeaway is that you can be book smart, but not street smart, as we all know.
Yes. True, true, true.
And that street smarts are maybe a little bit more important. And
so
I say
true.
That as an educator.
Former teacher? I love
this. Former teacher.
Yeah, as a professor, do you want to say that one more time just for the listeners like me?
Sometimes I think street smarts are a little more important than book smarts.
Yes, up high, Burnett. You got her to say it. That's on the record.
Yes.
All right. So thanks for listening, folks.
You're so welcome.
And thanks for asking me what my ridiculous takeaway
is.
Don't
really care.
Yeah. Okay. Well, mine was you can't always trust a big button to smile. Apparently, same is true for big breasts. So there you go. Or a physicist.
Yeah.
So three things we learned today. Anyway, as always, you can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, I think, as long as Elizabeth doesn't get her hands on it. We also have a website, ridiculouscrime.com. You can leave us a message on the iHeart Talkback. You can find that on an iHeart app.
They're
also,
so good, by the
we
way.
We enjoy those. Elizabeth loves
We've
them. She plays them
really
driving around,
ones.
She tells me.
On a loudspeaker when I'm driving my ice cream truck.
Yeah. What do you do when you're not here?
I do...
Also, you can obviously email us if you want, ridiculouscrime@gmail.com, care of Elizabeth Dutton. Once again, thanks for listening. Catch you next crime.
Bye.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by a leading experimenter in quantum chromodynamics theory and its implication in sound for podcasts, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa, I can't believe you didn't say Frampton came alive to crime, Brown. And Andrea, I can believe you didn't say it, and technically he did, song Sharp and Tear. Our theme song is Thomas Bosonic String Theory Lee and Travis Split Octonian's Dut. Well, host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben, I'm more of a Niels Bohr man, Bolin, and Noel, don't tell, but I killed Schrodinger's cat, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.